thoughts of the Savior and what He has done for us. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Isn't this a good place to be? I reckon it is myself. I don't know what kind of week you have had this week, but the Lord has something cooking in the oven with your name on it, and mine too. And I'm excited to see of what the Lord is doing in the life of His church. My wife was mentioning as we conclude this year, there will be a prayer weekend, and so make plans for that, because 2017 is not just a year of prayer, but when there's prayer, there's power, which means 2017 is a year of power. I had been receiving, make plans for next Sabbath, as we'll have our cantata. That is a wonderful musical work that has been so lovingly put together in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I've received many requests to do the seminar that I did on how to study the Bible for yourself. I'll be doing that again Sabbath afternoon at 4. But that's not what I came to tell you. Let us get to the oven. Let us pray. Loving Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. We come to You by faith. We come to You knowing that You know what You're doing, and that You are good, and that You love us, and that You have a word not just for our lives, for our very souls. So may You speak to us. May You send Your Spirit, and may Your glory be revealed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today we get to draw a concluding Sabbath to this series that we started some time back on temptation. We started on laying down some foundation of that had everything to do with our identity. Then we went to part two, which dealt with Jesus' first temptation, where Jesus received the temptation, "If you are the Son of God, make these stones into bread." Then we went to temptation number two, which was part three of the series, in which the devil takes Jesus to a pinnacle and says, "Throw yourself down, because after all, it is written, 'He shall give charge over His angels over thee, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Which leads us to the last temptation that we find that Jesus faced in this chapter of His life. And you might be thinking, "I'm so glad that we're going to be through with this series on temptation, because maybe I won't be tempted anymore." Actually, you will be tempted. Actually, I will be tempted. "Let's make a deal" is today's title. Jesus was victor in the second temptation, and now Satan manifests himself in his true character. Desire of Ages 129. Do we know what the devil's character is? Have you ever thought of that? In Jesus responding to the scribes and Pharisees, He says in John 8:44, "You are of your father," who? The devil. "And he lusts, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was a what? A murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the what? The truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. And soon his pants will be on fire, and the father of it. You see, the character of the devil is that he's a liar. He's a murderer. And some people think, well, in regards to truth, can't we just let bygones be bygones? You believe something, I believe something. Wait. Not everything people believe is true. Once upon a time, people did think the world was flat. But no, is round. And if they would have read their Bibles, they would have found in the book of Isaiah that the Bible says that the world is round. If I'm following a lie, who am I following? So what I believe in regards to the Bible is critical, because the devil is not going to tell me when I'm following him. It'll just be after the fact, when it's too late. The devil will never tell us the whole truth. He doesn't know how to do that. Truth is not in him. But there is someone I know who the Bible says is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus. The Bible says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. What a wonderful banana peel the devil had for Jesus, he thought. I'm going to get him now because I have something he doesn't have, he thought. The devil is an expert in presenting us a false sense of gain. When his temptation comes your way and my way, he wants us to think, oh, I'm going to get something good out of this. No. We never get anything good when we give in to temptation. Not once. The creation is telling the creator what supposedly is his. What a joke. You see, when Adam and Eve fell, they were removed from their position as vice regent of the world in connection with Christ. It was Adam and Eve and Christ as the heads of this world. But when Adam conceded, who took his place? Satan. So in this temptation, since Satan already had 50% of rulership, he was wanting Jesus to submit to him so that he in turn would have not 50%, but 100%. How many worlds fell? There's only one. So this supposed glories that the devil was showing Jesus, what glory was that? Because Jesus not only had seen all the glories of the unfallen worlds, but Jesus was one with the Father. And that is true glory. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear, Hebrews 11:3. So what you see and I see were made by things we can't see. And the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and everything that was made through this same Word, Jesus Christ. You see, this creation business is big business. Because whether or not we believe that God created the world or not is foundational to our belief in salvation. He shows Jesus the glory of them. Yeah, whatever. That's not glory. And the devil does the same thing with you and I. He'll have us think that what he's presenting before us is some wonderful thing. But it really isn't. What could possibly be something that the devil could offer Jesus? Ever thought about that? You see, the only thing that the devil can offer Jesus is something from below. Right? Remember that. Because what could the devil possibly offer us? It can also be only something from below. Never something from above. Never something pure and holy and righteous and true. There's only one thing and one thing only that the devil can offer us, and that is death. He just won't tell us that. That's all he wants to offer us, even if it's sugar-coated. And so he comes to Jesus and says, let's make a deal. You just kind of put some WD-40 on your knees and bend, and I'll give you all of this. That's all you got to do. It's a simple deal. Let's make a deal. Have you ever made a deal with the devil and it turned out good? A lot of people do that these days. I mean, Hollywood works on this premise. The music industry works on this premise. All to be not number two or three or four or five, but to be number one. Thinking that in making a deal with the devil, they can achieve what Lucifer once attempted to achieve. Isn't that what we find in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14? Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, you who did weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the mountain of God. I will ascend above the stars of God. It sounded like a horrible choir warm-up, where he was just saying, me, 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 me. Because that's all he was concerned about. The Bible says, and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and what? You see, worship is at the core of the issue in this temptation. Christian Service, page 144. Which Christian? Every Christian is at some time brought to the test, which will reveal his weak points of character. The devil's not going to kick you where you're strong. He's going to kick us where we're weak. So that, and you know, our good Lord permits this temptation so that our characters are refined. If the temptation is resisted, and temptation can be resisted, precious victories are gained. He must choose whether he will serve Christ or become a follower of the deceiver and a worshiper of him. So when I give in to temptation, who am I worshiping? That doesn't sound too pretty, does it? But that's the reality. You see, devil worship isn't limited to satanic worshipers who have their satanic temples and what have you. But no, devil worship could actually happen in my own life without me even noticing it. Resisting temptation is an act of worship and service to Jesus. And when we resist temptation, it's our act of worshiping Jesus and trusting Jesus. If I have Jesus, I got what? Everything. And if I don't have Jesus, what do I have? Nada. Zip, zero, zilch. I don't know if we've made a decision lately about Jesus. You see, every day is a day to make a decision to invite Jesus into your heart. Because I could wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, Jesus? I'm done with you. But what a privilege it is today to say, Jesus, I want you today. And I want you always. Come in, oh please. Desire of Ages 129 says, Christ's mission could be fulfilled only through what? Being happy-go-lucky? No, through suffering. So if we're suffering through something right now, praise the Lord. Because your Savior and my Savior went through suffering. Now, why would he do a thing like that? Oh, that's right. Because he loves you and he loves me. So if it's a hard time right now, praise him. For God is with us, because even Jesus faced a large amount of suffering. Desire of Ages, page 130. With the same temptation, Satan approaches men, and here he has better success than with Christ. To men, he offers a kingdom of this world on condition that they will acknowledge his supremacy. He requires that they sacrifice integrity, disregard conscience, and indulge in selfishness. This was the temptation that he was counting that Jesus would give in on. And so this game, let's make a deal with Wayne Brady, is one that has how many doors? Three doors. And hopefully they make the right choice of what door. And the devil presents to us that supposedly we have three doors too. Well, door number one would be where we follow Jesus. Easy choice. And door number three would be where we follow the devil. But then smack dab in the middle is door number two. And that door isn't following necessarily Jesus, and it's not following the devil, so that must be a safe door. But actually, no. Door number two and door number three are the same door. If I'm not following Jesus, I am following the devil. What's interesting about this show is that they're on this show to be poor or to be rich. They want something quick. They want something without striving for it. And not just that, but get this. You need a certain outfit to play. Don't they dress up in funny outfits on the show? Wasn't it Genesis chapter 3 where we see that Adam and Eve made a deal with the devil and they changed outfits? Interesting. Very interesting. And now Jesus, today, he offers us different outfits. It's called his robe of righteousness, where it doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. You can come to Christ today. I can come to Christ today and receive his robe of righteousness that covers everything else I've ever done. Here's the thing. I can't see those threads. But by faith, I believe that he grants it to me. Isn't that good news? As if I had never, ever sinned. Choice. You have a choice. I have a choice. In the Garden of Eden, the Bible presents that God gave him a choice of which way to go. He didn't tell him you had to eat from that tree. But he gave him a choice. In Joshua 24, Joshua tells the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then elsewhere in the scriptures, it says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, sounds like a choice to me. In every temptation you face and I face, there is still a choice. Because the devil would have us think that we don't have a choice. But we do. And the choice is this: Christ or the devil? Christ or death? Christ or pain? We may resist temptation and force Satan to depart from us. Jesus gained the victory through submission and faith in God. And that's huge to me, because sometimes as a Christian, I may not be that crazy about following God. God will tell me something, the Holy Spirit will convict me of something, and now I have a choice of, I'm not crazy about what the Holy Spirit's telling me, but now I choose to submit. The thing is, sometimes I choose to submit, and sometimes I don't. But the blessing and the victory comes when I submit to what God's word has already told me and what his spirit is convicting me of. James 4, 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And it is here where we actually do the resisting of the devil. And he stays by? No, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see, it is time we make a decision. And not making a decision is in and of itself a decision. It's time we make our minds up clearly to follow Christ and him only. You see, temptation number three is the complete opposite of temptation number two. Temptation number two was where the devil took Jesus to a high pinnacle and said, throw yourself down, and he wanted him to die. Temptation number three is this. Don't die. Keep on living. Just kneel down and worship me. But the end result will be the same. The devil says, you don't have to die. After all, we are baptized Christians. You can have your name of a Christian and still keep on going and doing this garbage. That's not what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me, you shall know them by their fruits. And the fruit is directly related to the root of the tree. Didn't Jesus say, I am the vine, you are the branches? If there ever was a time to hold on to Jesus, it is now. And holding on to Jesus means I give up of myself. The Bible tells us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself. Elsewhere, Paul writes, I die how often? Dying yesterday wasn't good enough. Dying today, dying tomorrow, dying every day thereafter is what the Bible is telling me that you and I need to do. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You see, my problem is, I try to lift myself up. I try having the devil lift me up. Jesus lifts me up, not Satan. When I give in to temptation, it's as if I'm having the devil trying to lift me up, but he never will, because he can only give of what's from below. Matthew 4, verse 10 says, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship who? The Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship. Matthew 4:10. So if Jesus is the only one we can worship, that gives life, that gives joy, that gives purpose, if there ever was a day to worship Jesus, it's today. If there ever was a moment to follow Jesus, it's today. The devil doesn't want all of you. He just wants part of you. You know why? The Bible says that a little bit of folly does what to the rest of the lump? It affects, it permeates the rest of the lump. So, if I give just in a little bit right here and think that I can dabble with a little bit of temptation and sin, and think that it's not going to affect the rest of me, I'm mistaken. Because it's just that little bit that affects the rest of the organism, the rest of my life. Because the devil doesn't present big temptations per se. He actually presents small ones, just so that we give in completely. Jesus said, if your hand causes you to what? To sin, we should do what with the hand? Because it's better that we don't have a hand than our whole body and being burns up in hell. Not my words, Jesus' words. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your foot causes you to sin, if your mouth, if your tongue causes you to sin, we got some chopping to do. And here's the thing, that chopping is your choice and my choice. God isn't going to do that for us. Jesus said, cut it off, cut it out, or else it will affect all of us. You see, the question is, do I love something more than Jesus? Because when I love something more than Jesus, it will lead me into sin. Because that in turn is my God. Is Jesus your God? Will worship be an issue before Jesus comes back? I mean, after all, we believe that what is happening in Revelation 13, which leads us to the message that we have to give in Revelation 14, is happening, correct? But if I'm busy worshiping the devil as I'm falling into temptation, maybe the battle's already over in my life. Because, I mean, after all, once I see the Sunday law go pass into effect, maybe that's when I'm going to start worshiping God. No, friends. The time to worship God is now. The time to make up our minds up about Jesus is now. The time to be true to Him when we're tempted is now. Because if we're not faithful in the small things, do you think we'll be faithful in the large things? I don't think so. So where's the victory? Because I don't know about you, but I want victory over temptation. How about you? Victory is in God's word. If there ever was a time to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, it is now. Because when we're tempted, our response needs to be, it is written. It is written, and it is written. But guess what? If I don't know what's written, what do you think my answer is going to be? It could be something like this. I think, I thought, I feel. The last time I checked, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. And guess what? It's still written. Victory is in God's word. At every assault, Christ presented the shield of eternal truth, saying, it is written. To what suggestion? To every suggestion of the adversary, he opposed the wisdom and power of the word. It is written is your victory and my victory. Where else is victory? In agonizing prayer. You see, my Bible tells me that Jesus didn't just have grace over the food. He had prayer throughout nights. The prayer of faith is the great strength of the Christian and will assuredly prevail against Satan. This is why he insinuates that we have no need of what? No need of prayer. Have you ever felt that way? Oh yeah, it's Wednesday night. Oh, I don't need to go there. I don't need prayer. Guess what? We do. Because here it says that it's the strength of the Christian so that we may prevail against who? Against Satan. So last time I checked, praying is critical. It's part of our victory. Not just that, True prayer takes hold of upon omnipotence and gives us the victory. Upon his knees, a Christian obtains strength to resist what? Resist what? Temptation. So it's not just praying, but praying as if our life meant or depended on it. That's the type of praying that gives us victory. If it's just, thank you for this day, that's good and all, but that's not what we're talking about. It's praying with urgency. It's praying with consistency. It's praying with purpose. Where else is victory? In submission to God. If I'm reading his word, if I'm on my knees praying, but yet now what God is telling me I'm not submitting to him about, guess what? The devil has me where he wants me. So I need to submit to God's word when the Holy Spirit has spoken so clearly to me. Submit yourselves, therefore, to who? To God, the Bible says. Where else is there victory? In saving the lost. If I'm in God's word, if I'm praying, if I'm submitting daily to God, then what should come naturally is saving the lost. Why did Jesus come to earth again? Oh, that's right, to seek and to save that which was lost. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Oh, that's right, when God came down here to save you and I. All right, I get that. So if that's why he came to earth, what about us? If he left there to come here to save us, what are we doing here to save them? That would be the natural progression. That is why we are here. He is a conquered foe in relation to the devil. He does not come to man directly and demand homage by outward worship. He simply asks men to place their affections upon the good things of this world. If he succeeds in engaging the mind and affections, the heavenly attractions are eclipsed. All he wants of man is for him to fall under the deceitful power of his temptations to love the world, love rank and position, love money, and to place his affections upon earthly treasures. If he secures this, he gains all that he asked of Christ. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 480. That's all the devil wants me to do, to love the world, to love rank and position, to love money, and to set my treasures on things that are going to burn. Have you read lately what Revelation 5:12 says? Jesus, upon ascending to heaven, his sacrifice is accepted by the Father. And heaven now worships Jesus. The Bible says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Why was he receiving these things? Oh, that's right. Because Jesus left heaven and actually, rather than have power, he had weakness. Rather than having riches of heaven, he had poverty. Rather than having wisdom, he actually, what man thought was the foolishness of man. Rather than having strength, rather than having honor, he was despised. Rather than having glory, he was scorned. And rather than having blessing, he was cursed. He receives all these things because he loves you and because he loves me. So as he went to the cross, as he was victorious, as he ascends to heaven, he receives these things, and now heaven worships him. And these are the things he receives. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have Jesus. You see, the hymn says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. And we can't leave this place without having an opportunity to respond to that invitation. This is not just a hymn that we're going to be singing. And before we sing it, I have a choice to make. Before we sing it, you have a choice to make of whether or not you want to follow Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus and have him be your treasure, of have him be your God and Savior, please stand. We want to have Jesus. And as we have made this choice, it's possible that there could be something that needs to be cut off. There could be something that we're dabbling with that we thought that was just going to be for a moment, and now we don't know how to get rid of this stuff. If there's something that you need to cut off, and you know you need to cut it off today, I'd like to invite you to come forward. God bless you. Who else needs to cut something off that it needs to go? We know we won't be doing that up there. So the time to get rid of it is now. Because we can't hold on to Jesus and sin at the same time. Something's got to give. And the Savior is inviting you and I to hold on to Jesus. Who needs to cut something off that does not look like Jesus in their life? Is that you? Is that me? As we have made our decision to submit to Jesus, to cut things off, it is time, family, to save the lost. And it just happens to be that when I'm in sin, I have no ability to save the lost. I believe that just as Jesus moved on from that temptation to save the lost, today we are moving on from sin and death to reach the lost. And so, as we sing, we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we sing, we need to move forward and not look back. As we sing, may we never leave Jesus' side or word. Let us sing together.